It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Tuesday, December 7th, 2010. I'm John Moe. The world has been playing whack-a-mole with WikiLeaks ever since it released confidential files 9 days ago. The website, WikiLeaks.org, has disappeared and reappeared many times, moving from server to server. You'll never guess who's involved.
It's likely that some number of listeners to this show have computers that participated in the WikiLeaks attack.
That's Hal Roberts of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. WikiLeaks has been attacked through what's called a distributed denial of service, or DDoS attack, where a site is flooded with so much traffic it can't function. One of the ways attackers generate that traffic is through botnets. We talked about these on the show yesterday. Vast networks of computers that are secretly infected, yours for instance, and made to do the bidding of a central commander. So someone wants to shut down WikiLeaks, they employ a botnet. And you help. Sven Dietrich is on faculty in the Computer Science Department at the Stevens Institute of Technology. Sven, in what ways is a central commander using my computer to shut down WikiLeaks?
You can either send bogus traffic, just a connect request that you intend to connect to the website but never follow through. If you stand in line, for example, at the store, you ask for a number. And if you don't actually walk up when they call your number, you're slowing down the process.
Okay.
It's a similar way that this would work. Or you could actually request a web page from the web server and do that from multiple locations. So it looks like a legitimate request, and you could therefore overload the server that way. Or you could attack the DNS, the name service, which does the translation from the name WikiLeaks.org to an actual IP address.
Sven says these DDoS attacks are becoming more common.
Initially, it was just the elite hackers that knew how to do it. But what has happened is that the capability of doing so has become very easy. So you have someone who doesn't quite know how it works, but knows how to use the tool and now perform the attacks. You get access to the tool, you can buy them in the black market, and then you are told you just use X, Y, and Z, and you target the web server over there, and you're done.
Bigger companies are, not surprisingly, better able to fight off these attacks. That's why WikiLeaks rented servers from Amazon until Amazon kicked them out. But Hal Roberts says the best strategy for a lot of website operators is just to wait.
It takes actually a significant amount of effort to maintain an attack, either by specifically continuing to find vulnerabilities so you can attack it with a relatively small number of machines, or if you're just flooding the site with traffic from lots of compromised machines, those compromised machines are valuable. So while you're attacking WikiLeaks, those same machines could be used to attack another site. They could be used to be stealing credit card numbers. They could be used to be sending spam. So it actually costs money to keep one of these sites up. So what I suspect will happen with WikiLeaks, but seems like maybe it's already happening, is the attacker, it becomes too expensive for the attacker, the attacker loses interest, and then the site stays up for a while. And then what we see often is there's some sort of crisis or some sort of event where the site becomes much more relevant, and then another round of attacks starts.
Other stories we're following at MarketplaceTech.org. Google unveiled a new version of the Android operating system for mobile devices. Android 2.3, codenamed Gingerbread, timely, has better battery life, easier cut and paste. Google also showed off its new phone, the Nexus S. And AT&T is the worst-rated wireless carrier in the United States, according to Consumer Reports, which surveyed 58,000 readers. We have more information on that study, including who's number one, at MarketplaceTech.org. Producer Larissa Anderson is here with a story you may have missed.
About quantitative literary analysis of 19th century England.
Math meets English.
Does that sound like a fun party?
Sure.
Everybody wants to know what those people are thinking. Two George Mason history professors are analyzing the recurrence of words used in the titles of over 1.5 million books published in England in the 19th century. They've been working with Google, which cataloged all those books.
Some interesting findings, too.
Right. The word universal drops steadily as the century progresses, and the professors say that reflects a move away from idealism and toward a relativistic worldview. The word Christian loses popularity as a century moves along, and the word science gains popularity.
The word evil is rare all through the century, but the researchers say that doesn't mean the notion of evil wasn't around. They just chose different words. I guess evil never goes out of style. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.